Our scripture reading this morning comes out of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 31. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Good morning, church family and friends. You'll notice that we have a noticeable gap here. I think a lot of our young people are at a particular youth rally put on by the Southwest Church of Christ in Pueblo. So that's where they are. Glad to be back. We had a great time at lectureship, and the weather was even lovely. If you could say Texas weather is lovely. I can say Texas weather is lovely. It was in the 80s and the 90s, and for Texans, that is mighty cool. Before I get going, and I want to bring your attention to the back page of the bulletin. If you didn't pick up a bulletin, look at the back page, and there are needs that are pantry needs. And I hope you'll run by King Supers or wherever you do your grocery shopping and bring some of those items and put them in the pantry, because the pantry doesn't fill up on its own. It takes our participation. And I know Tracy and Tommy would appreciate your assistance in that endeavor. So there's a lot of things on that list that we're short of or running out of. And you may even have some of those items in your own pantry that you can bring, and that's the commercial for this morning. We have been called the people of the book, a people of the word. We might have even been called by some a people who understand what it means to do the second mile with others, or to turn that other cheek when insulted or attacked. But I want us to consider something about becoming the people who have been shaped by the cross. To become a cross-shaped people. I'm not suggesting that we start crossing ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about having crosses stuck up on the back of where the preacher stands, and when you leave or when you enter, you nuflect to that particular item. I have in my pocket somewhere a cross. Just a reminder of what happened at Golgotha. In medieval times, they built great cathedrals and large places of worship in the shape of a cross. basilica sometimes were built in Greece in the shape of the cross, outlining that particular cross to remind them again of what it truly means. But somewhere along the line, we've gotten away from being a cross-shaped people. And that's what I hope we would aspire to be, a people who have been shaped by one particular cross. The reading that I selected this morning, and what you're getting this morning is what I have benefited from in the classes that I took at lectureship, that I thought inspired me, made me to look at myself and hopefully get all of us to look at ourselves. I am a proclaimer of truth. I do not apologize for that. I am a purveyor of the message. And I pray that this message, that his truth, will find a lodging place in every one of us. Sometimes when truth finds that place, once you let it in, we wriggle with it. We struggle with it. We get heartburn over it. Sometimes it keeps us up at night because it keeps our brain thinking about it. Unfortunately, sometimes truth can make us mad at the preacher or mad at God. Well, if that's what truth does, Paul said, so do I become the enemy because I have told you truth. It is not my intention to make you wriggle in the pews. It is not my intention to keep you up at night. It is not my intention to evoke a response of being mad at me or being mad at God or mad at the elders or mad at this church. What I'm hoping that truth will do in our quest to become truly a cross-shaped people, shaped by his cross, is that it will be because of the conviction that comes through the Holy Spirit. Just because it's mentioned in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit convicted people, that he is incapable of doing it now. I firmly disagree with that proposition, that he still convicts men. He does it through the proclaimers of truth, the purveyors of his word. He does it by planting seed that comes from messages that are preached, classes that are taught. And then when you settle on it, I pray that you will grow by it. That's what I hope. God chose something that was to some a foolish way to do it. He chose the cross. He chose the way of the cross to tell us how much he loved us. I think we hurry past this cross to get people down into the baptistry. You know what I'm saying? And to explain that a little bit better, I want you to look at Colossians, the same chapter, chapter 1, and look at verse 17. First Corinthians, oh, did I say Colossians? Forgive me. I was thinking Colossians, but, well, I said Colossians, but I was thinking Corinthians. Isn't that awful? If somebody said, it doesn't say that in my Bible. Fire him. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Ah, you say. Actually, I did that on purpose. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. I thought that was the whole purpose of preachers, is to baptize people. I do believe that when we put the cross in the right place and the right man on that cross, people will, some people will be convicted by that kind of message, that kind of foolishness of God that is so smart, so wise. And so he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. We've often questioned, you know, and we say, oh, tell me what the gospel is. And we say, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Correct. Came across this the other day. Little rubber band. But it has an arrow going down, and then the cross is next to it. And then a symbol that looks like a tomb. And then next to that is an arrow going up. And then an arrow coming back down and going on. And that's the gospel. When you hear the gospel, you realize that, number one, we're dead in sin. And because we're dead, we need to be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. But we don't stay there in the baptistry or in the tomb. We rise to walk in the newness of life with Jesus. That's the gospel. And if you want one of those, I've only got one left, but you can get them at Mardell's for $1.49. That's with 25% off. So don't pester me. But that's just a little reminder of what the gospel is all about. It's one thing to understand it from that simple point of view. It's another thing for us as a cross-shaped people to live that gospel every day. I know it's hard. It really is hard. And he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to do something first. And that was to preach the gospel, not with eloquent words or words of eloquent wisdom. And here's what he says, lest the cross of Christ, he identifies whose cross he's talking about. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied, devalued, made purposeless. Tonight, I said I was out of commercials. Tonight in our study, I want to take this a little further, and I want to give you some scriptures to write down, because we're going to study from those scriptures about what it is to be a cross-shaped disciple. And the first scripture that I want you to look at is Galatians 2 and 20. Then quickly follow or go to Galatians 4 and 19, which says, I continue to pray for you that the Christ may be formed in you. And then Galatians 5 and 24. And then we'll finish up with Galatians 6 and 14. If Paul is going to do any boasting, it won't be boasting about how good a preacher he is or how great an apostle he is. He is going to boast about one thing and one thing only. He echoes the same thing in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. I have determined to know nothing amongst you except this: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 6 and 14 says, the only thing that I want to boast in is boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. It was that cross that grabbed the attention of 12 men. It was that cross that empowered them. When you couple it together with the event that happened on the third day, if we don't have the third day event, all we have is a man that died on a cross. We have something more. We have something that is transformational. Something that completely alters us. I want you to turn in your Bibles over to the second letter, not of Colossians. There isn't a second letter of Colossians. To 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And by the way, at verse 7 and following, this is tapping into the theme that was studied and talked about by our ladies from the congregation here, who went to the Ponderosa Ranch for a overnighter. And I believe they had a fantastic time together, a great growing time together. And I want to encourage more of our ladies to get into that kind of thing, because I think it's the way we grow church. It's the way we grow souls. It's the way we grow encouragement and fellowship. In verse 7 it says this, and then I want you, don't rush over to it, but I want you to stop at the 10th verse for a minute. But let's put it in context. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show something. It says, to show that the surpassing power actually belongs to God. And I would suggest this. If there is power in a jar of clay, and actually the jar of clay is us, there is also power in that people who become cross-shaped, cruciformed, changed and transformed by the cross of Christ. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We've been persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We've been struck down, but we're not destroyed. And then come to verse 10, because this is where you get it right between the eyes. Always carrying in the body in us the death of Jesus. And that's the cross. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul there talks about lifting up or honoring Christ in our bodies. If you were thinking about how could I do that? How could I honor Christ in my body? What would be the greatest example of that? To be cross-shaped. To be transformed. You know, the gospel is powerful enough not only to change us into sons and daughters of God, but that gospel is the same one that makes us a cross-shaped son and daughter of God, makes us cross-shaped servants. A cross-shaped disciple is more ready than anyone else to make the sacrifices that need to be made because of the cross. It's more ready to give because we're cross-shaped. More ready to suffer because we're cross-shaped. More ready to endure. More ready to express the gospel in the way we are shaped. A cruciform, transformed people of God. I love that. He went on to say, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. I love that. When we're carrying in our bodies, a reminder, we're mindful of how Jesus died, why he died. In Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's at verse 15, speaking the truth in love, cross-shaped people express his gospel in such an effective way. A cross-shaped people don't rattle off the key scriptures that say, hear, believe, confess, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. A cross-shaped people put all of that together and express it, not with eloquent words, but with the power that comes through being cross-shaped. Does that make sense? I think it's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. And as always, I always have more stuff than I'm able to put in the box and deliver it to you today, so you're only getting the tip out of the iceberg today. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. We're talking of his cross. We're talking of his sacrifice. We're talking about his death. When we grow up into Jesus, into Christ, Ephesians 4 and 15, what is the shape we'll end up being? It will be the shape of his cross, the shape of his sacrifice, the shape of his message. In John chapter 3, in verse 30, you remember John was on the scene, John the Baptist. And we're not talking about that he was a member of another church group. I always prefer to say John who was the baptizer. But regardless, John was the last of the Old Testament prophets that were alive and kicking, except for Jesus. Because Jesus bridges the gap, bridges the old, and takes us into the new with his covenant. I love that too, don't you? But here's John. He's on the scene. He is the, shall we say, the our main correspondent on the scene for God. The highlight, the torch, the limelight is on him. But in John chapter 3 and verse 30, John says something very short. When he meets Jesus, this is prior to the cross. He meets Jesus and he says, he must increase and I must decrease. I think that particular statement is a condition of the heart that makes us ready to be a cross-shaped people. To let Jesus be the most important person in your life. That to emulate him by being a cross-shaped disciple is the greatest glory or honor that we could give back to him. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it says there, they were called Christians first in a place called Antioch. I think of Acts chapter 4. I think it's verse 12. I might be wrong, but it's in the fourth chapter where there were some people, Jews, big Jewish leaders, who noticed something about these disciples that they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Was it that they were becoming cross-shaped because of their association, because of their walk with the Christ? They were becoming cross-shaped because they had understood what John had done in verse 30 of chapter 3 was to make himself a servant insignificant, to allow Christ to ascend and become the most important person in their lives. They could tell that they had been with Jesus. In those cathedrals that they built, cross-shaped buildings, I asked myself, what about those worshipers? Sure, they crossed themselves. Sure, they genuflected in front of the big cross up on the high altar. But were they transformed by not that cross, but his cross? In Luke 14 and verse 27, we are given an example there about carrying our cross. Tonight, as we go through Galatians, I think there is a greater transformation to be had than just carrying the cross. That's a start. We become one with Christ through that cross. We become a cross-shaped people. That's what we want to talk about tonight. Are you game? I hope you'll come tonight. I hope you'll look at those passages of Scripture. I am a proclaimer of truth. I hope truth finds where it needs to be in your life. I hope truth touches you in every area of your life, but especially in those areas where you've been a little reluctant to open the door. And truth says, like Jesus in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking." The handle is on the inside of your door. You need to hold the handle and open the door. Let Jesus, the truth, come in. Have you taken the journey that so many of us have done before? To die and to admit your death, because sin is killing us. It's killing you. And your need to recognize the power of his cross. Let us not empty that cross of its power. Baptism will find its proper place in the scheme of things. But if there is no Jesus on the cross, there will be no resurrection on the third day. And we of all men should be pitied most, because we would still yet be in our sin. If you are ready to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and repent of that sin, to be buried with your Lord in baptism and to rise again, to walk in new life, walking for Jesus now. The Bible says we have stopped living for ourselves. We are now living for Jesus. We are becoming more and more a cross-shaped people, a cross-minded people. I hope and pray, pardon the pun, that you're not living at cross purposes against him. The pool of the gospel. I pray that you will let Jesus cross your mind, that you will allow him to speak the truth that he spoke in life, in death, and in resurrection. If there's someone here this morning that needs to confess something, fine. Let the healing begin. God is ready. Are you? Will you come work together with me?
I heard the voice.